In a parallel resolution, what happens? Every manager reporting to the general manager, the GM or the CEO, there are a number of people are reporting to me. The HR head, the operations head, the marketing head, all are reporting to me. Now what happened? These people, they are offered different types of, each one gives me what is the functional optimum that he or she can achieve. Right? Now this comes to me and I take a decision based on the parallel resolution of each of them. And the pitfall which I spoke about some time back, if I come from one of those specialized backgrounds, it's possible that I see the meaningfulness only about that specialization head who gives me the resolution. So this also creates a trouble. So sequential resolution and the parallel resolution, both of them are very common in industry. It's common everywhere for that matter. So what are we telling you? I just wanted to just read this. I'll pause for a second, go through it. In fact, when you go through it, you'll feel that these are more worded, but I've already explained the concept to you, right? Now, sequential resolution is not creative. Sequential resolution is not creative. It leads to balkanization of business, means making islands of business, which are not connected. Parallel resolution, on the other hand, is also not creative. It leads to functional optimum and not business optimum. Best marketing plan, best production plan, but not best business plan. These are the two pitfalls. So both are no-no. These both of them are a no-no for an integrative thinker. Neither the sequential nor the parallel process generates productive architecture of integrative thinking, in which the thinker keeps the whole in mind while working in the individual parts. But still we continue to simplify, because once you start integrating things, you end up with a much more complex problem than you had before. And it is harder to work with, and things are more in a flux, they are in a state of transition. You get more interactions between things, so the knowledge that you have has to be more robust. All it needs is to stretch yourself. Look at the other side of the story. And when you find that integrating take place very easily, right? That is more complexity than most minds can care to handle. People find it difficult to handle complexity at the workplace. Very few people can do them, they are the leaders. But then we have encouragement. Now we have a case of the father of software industry in India, F.C. Kohli, who was heading TCS. And it is he who said, any situation has a certain amount of alternatives, but if you are doing systems thinking, this is very common in TCS, systems thinking. Even for a complex problem, and you realize what is the system, what are the subsystems, and you define their interrelationships as well as you can, you will start seeing some daylight how to get out of it. Complexity does not look that bad with logical inputs in a system structure. I've explained this in one of the earlier sessions. The human body is one system which consists of various parts. Now every organ of the body functions on its own pretty well, but there is a connection between organ A, organ B, organ C, organ D. If any one of the organs is getting into a malfunction, it affects the entire health of the person. Same analogy can be drawn for a company. That's what is being told by F.C. Kohli in this quote, right? Teams can offer valuable support in maintaining the complexity that integrative thinking thrives upon. And Martha Graham, for example, collaborated with giants from the domains of music and art sculptures such as Copeland and Noguchi, because she valued and needed the expertise. These giants helped her break free from conventional notions of what was salient to the dance, and deepened her understanding of causal relationships among each element of the performance. Constant reaction with collaborators enabled her keep the whole dance in mind while she designed its individual elements. Sequential or parallel resolution, you cannot make a renaissance person, but you can actually assemble a renaissance team. What is renaissance? It was a period in history in Europe wherein multiple geniuses, experts in their different fields, they came together, they integrated various things. It was an outburst of many things. A musician integrating his thinking with an architecture. Architecture integrating his thinking with forms and ambience. That's why if you go to places like Greece and Rome and all, you'll find this old architecture, which is a combination of many things. You can have a feel inside. Similar to Taj, when you go to Taj, you can feel inside. It's not just a monument. There has been some other thoughts that have come to it. The architectural form, the space inside. You know, some musicians' thinking has come into it. Some architects' thinking is coming into it. So all these things, when they come together, that particular period in history in Europe is called as a Renaissance period. So it says that you cannot make a Renaissance person, but you can actually assemble a Renaissance team, a team that is multiple thinking and integrating. The integrative thinkers rely on their Renaissance teams to broaden salience, maintain sophisticated causality, and create a holistic architecture in their drive for a creative resolution. Now I take you to the second case study, which is titled as Designing a Ride and Not a Rail Car. Designing a Ride, Not a Rail Car. There's another example about how this gentleman called Tim Brown, the CEO of this company called IDEO, used the integration of simplification and specialization. IDEO is one of the most sophisticated and successful Renaissance teams in business today in industrial design. Now, what do you do in a typical Renaissance team? You know, we design for the heart as well as for the hand. I need a knife to cut something. It can be just a functional knife, it cuts, but I may not find it comfortable to hold it in the hand. There's an emotional connect with the functional aspects. Connecting the emotional and the functional aspects is very important to understand integrative thinking. So it's important to know that while I'm traveling by train, functionally I travel from one point to another point, I reach the place. Am I comfortable while traveling? Does it make me feel good that I want to come back again and give business to them? My convenience of traveling, at the same time, my comfort of traveling, are both of them matching? These two are rarely thought of together. Organizations may think of comfort, but the functionality may be not there. Functionality may be there, but the comfort may not be there. And people tend to choose either or and land up not getting the other. IDEO is a company which actually integrates all these things. Its CEO, Tim Brown, and his colleagues, they recognize that the people who use products and services do not judge them simply by their functional performance. They also judge them by the degree of emotional connect or the emotional satisfaction they provide. How a kitchen utensil makes its user feel is as important as how it chops or cuts. Right? Many of IDEO's competitors are now copying IDEO, but IDEO has much more experience than its rivals in designing for emotions, for the heart as well as the hand. If a company A is creative, it's become successful. Another company B comes and starts copycat. If you become a copycat, you don't become creative, because creativity comes from an emotional functional connect. And what IDEO did, it was IDEO's functional connect with its emotions. Somebody else comes in and they don't have an emotional connect, they only have a functional connect, it doesn't work. Beyond a point, it doesn't sustain. Many products are there in the market which is like a also-ran Me Too product. These Me Too products are not much popular and they don't serve the purpose the way the first product serves a purpose. The first to come in the market serves a purpose, right? Brown explicitly discourages both his designers and IDEO's clients from oversimplifying and over-specializing. Excessive focus on the individual elements of a design problem, he argues, will detract from the overall solution the clients are seeking. That belief was put to test when Amtrak, the famous US passenger rail company, was preparing to launch its Acela high-speed train service along Boston-Washington Metro corridor, connecting these two cities, right? Amtrak told IDEO that it wanted a rail car that was more attractive and functional than the interior of the passenger airliners that were Amtrak's primary competitors. Amtrak wanted IDEO to design their Acela rail car, which was giving an experience of the people sitting in a flight, because Amtrak saw themselves as competing with the people of flying from city to city. So they wanted people to get attracted to them, and so they had to compete in terms of practically everything that the flights are offering, right? So here goes. Brown could have taken on the assignment and designed a car that would have been a huge improvement over Amtrak's dowdy and rundown rolling stock. Not so very glamorous dowdy. At the same time, it was an outdated type of a rail car. Rolling stock is rail car, but not brown. What did he do? The integrative thinker who hated simplification and specialization, he argued that focusing on the rail car interiors, Amtrak was missing on the much larger problem. When I go to the station, railway station, when I enter, I must feel good. When I go to the ticketing counter, it should be very easy for me to reach there. The ticketing experience should be also good. Then I go to the platform to take the train. There should be very clear announcements there. So it's a whole experience, not just the travel alone. So Brown said that let us focus on everything, not just the rail car. That's why this title, Designing the Ride Itself and Not Only the Rail Car. So what did he do? Travelers avoided Amtrak because they disliked the entire Amtrak experience. They did not like booking tickets on Amtrak. They did not like waiting in Amtrak stations, and they did not like the boarding procedures. Until these were unchanged, car interiors did not matter. Whatever you may do, it's like going to a restaurant which has got plush interiors. The food is horrible, the waiters are rude, and it's also expensive. Will you go there? There are people who go there. They go for the plush interiors, that is isolation. But would you not expect all of them to be integrated? That's exactly what was designed by IDEO for Amtrak. So when we take it for, he is a gentleman, Tim Brown, right? And then Brown, the integrative thinker, was assigned a job to redesign the rail car. He used complexity and redesigned the whole experience of the train journey by working on 10 steps in the journey without ever forgetting the joy of a ride. Brown persuaded Amtrak to rethink the design challenge and put IDEO's designers to work and analyze a typical train trip. Step by step, each aspect, each process steps, from the time the person decides to go take an Amtrak, enters a platform, does his ticketing, every process, every part of it was analyzed by people, by individuals, by experts, and they brought them together to integrate them. How does one weave with the other? How does one carry on the baton to the other in terms of a smooth transition of experience? Right? So they determined it involved 10 distinct steps: learning, planning, starting, learning about the Amtrak journey, planning to go take a journey, starting to take a journey, entering, ticketing, waiting, boarding, riding, arriving, continuing their subsequent journey. So imagine, would an ordinary person think of all these things? He says, a train travel is a train travel. Just go take a ticket and enter and do your job. But they wanted to have the competitive edge. What are the emotions of the person? How beautiful, how lovely he feels. Today, when you see the modern airports in India, most of the metro cities, they're pretty good. They're good experience. Even if the flight is delayed or something, you feel like sitting there because it's nice. You don't feel the pressure of having got delayed. Imagine everything is not okay, including the flight. What happens? It becomes a pain. Now that is something which he addressed. And so these steps, painstakingly, they were researched and they were all integrated together. The interior of the rail car was relevant only one of the 10 steps in the customary experience, riding. Brown converted rail car design into a synthetic process that takes into account the whole thing, involved an end-to-end rethink of the entire SLR customer experience, the very definition of holistic architecture. Nor were SLR rail cars redesigned, so were train stations, interactive information kiosks, employee workstations, and indeed the SLR brand, which was positioned as an experience that was superior to every respect to an air travel, not a rail travel. Each and every process steps mattered and well researched to provide total experience. This was possible only with integrative approach to resolution. The SLR is a shining example of breakthrough possible when simplification and specialization are set aside in favor of viewing both problem and solution in all their complexity. Now I take you to the third case of how integration took place by addressing simplification and specialization. The case of City TV, a Toronto-based television station owned by Moses Neimer. Let's see the background. Moses Neimer, a compact and an animated TV man, He co-founds this City TV, which is an independent Toronto television station in Canada. He has to compete with two giant Canadian networks, government-owned CBC and privately-owned CTV, plus the three big American channels, CBS, NBC and ABC, operating from Buffalo, US. Mainstream TV was polished, practiced but bland, and City TV was funky, spontaneous, idiosyncratic. The larger TV stations and larger TV companies, they have a very structured approach, whereas there are local TV stations which are peppy, relevant to the local population, right? City TV featured hip newscasters, fringe US and European shows, late at night, movies that were racier than anything competitors could dare show anytime. This was good for survival, but not for long. There was a fear of big giants capturing local, well-preserved markets, brandishing resources that local players had no hope of matching. If a small player is doing extremely well, he may not have the resources to expand, but he is good in his core competence. So the large companies would come and gulp them up. So many examples we come across today, wherein a small company, which is very good in its core, but can't expand because of non-availability of resources, is gulped by another company, larger company, and it becomes a part of their acquisition. So this is something that City TV was prone to. It was vulnerable to a takeover by a larger company, right? The issue, the apparent choice that Snymer faced was to stay local or go global. Going global mattered because wider reach, more business, but it also mean more investment. So stay local. If he stayed local, what was it? The viewers loved their local television. It connected with the communities the way global stations cannot. It's like the regional channel. The regional channel connects to the region, right? Advertisers were eager to reach those local viewers, and their continued spending gave the local stations solid economic underpinning, right? The issue with staying local was it risked being swamped by the TV business, as the TV business is globalized, right? If you go global, what was the thing? Involves large capital investment and take a huge financial risk. Necessitates expensive acquisitions, negotiating tricky alliances, expanding at a breakneck speed. It has to go very aggressive, right? Even if everything went the City TV way, it might not catch the global players who had a head start. They are already there in the market for so many years. So for it to catch up with them and even go beyond would be a mighty, mighty challenge. So what does he do? He goes for a resolution which is popularly called as glocalization. Glocalization, which means think local and act global. Think local and act global. We have a classical example about McDonald's. When they launched in India, they are thinking local. There are products which McDonald's is selling in India which are not sold in US. They are thinking local Indian and at the same time acting global in terms of their standards, SOPs, etc. Right? Now that's an example of a glocalization. Snymer's easiest choice would have been to stay comfortably local in the belief that going global was beyond his reach and not an alternative to consider. Eventually, big players would swallow him, but he would make a good living till City TV lasted. Let it go on till it goes on. One fine morning, somebody takes over. So be it. A form of a resigned approach, resignation. That's a typical conventional thinker would have done when there are two trades off, when there are two alternatives, wherein there are compromises with nasty results. The conventional thinker declares there is no choice at all. But not Snymer. He said no. He was an integrative thinker. What did he do? Being an integrative thinker, Snymer refused to accept the slow encroachment of international players into his market, just as he refused to miss out on the globalization of the media. I would not allow my company to be taken over. Neither would I would miss out on globalizing my company. Both appear to be contradictory. But he said, let me do something about it. He rethought the question of a global versus local. Looking for salient information he overlooked the first time. He went on thinking, deliberating about many issues, many things, And he found that love for local stations were not limited to Toronto alone. The love for the local station were not only for Toronto alone. It's possible that somebody else would like to see the local Toronto news. People who are moved away from Toronto, the Toronto natives who have gone to other cities may want to see it. Right? Just as in the metro city like Mumbai, we see regional channels and we watch in many homes, watch regional channels. To the region to which you belong, you would like to watch the region channel, which is not a very popular channel nationally, but you would like to see it. Right? Viewers in almost every market are powerfully attached to the local homegrown stations. This is a fact which Znaimer got in touch with. These homegrown stations reflect and foster community's values and sense of itself as a community. You feel the sense of belonging. Like the regional TV which I watch from my community gives me a connection with my community to which I belong, right? So it starts giving me the sense of joy, a sense of identity. It reconnects to my community, right? Local media, Znaimer proclaimed, helps members find unexpected connections. The working definition of his salience was, at City TV, we pay attention to the things that others have chosen to ignore. That's integrative thinking. Stations, separate and apart from their programs, must have their identity. People watched programs and not stations, because until Znaimer thought about it, most stations were not there. Znaimer created a station by making stations peek through everything they produce themselves, through the space between the programs. The character of a station is in its delivery. The station itself, the broadcasting station, right? In Znaimer used the space between the programs, which competitors considered dead air, to create City TV's distinct identity. Very creative. Between program A and program B, there's a filler time when there are advertisements and so many things that come, and which normally we switch off, or we do some other work and we come back to fill the next one starts. This dead space he used for creating City TV's distinct identity. The station's personalities appear between programs to tell viewers what's coming next and why they should stick around. Those personalities reflect Toronto's ethnic diversity better than any competitor or any foreign station, creating another bond with the audience. Imagine there's a serial going on. One serial has just got over. Second serial is about to start. In between comes the local station man. He talks about something and he connects to you. You know him. You've already related with that person. So what happens? You stay tuned. Thereby the airtime viewing also increases, right? And with their regular rhythmic appearances in the spaces between the shows, they embody Znaimer's dictum that the nature of the TV is to flow and not show. Flow and not show. Okay. So, taking further, Znaimer, its tagline. What is the tagline? The tagline was City TV Everywhere reinforces its connection with viewers. Znaimer used various devices to establish that connection. City TV cameramen will travel on City TV television trucks, which are ubiquitous in Toronto, and interact with passers-by to create matter for broadcast in the evenings. It will be seen all around. It becomes the identity of the whole city, right? City TV had a tiny studio booth on the ground floor of its office building, where anyone can shoot a slot of 15 seconds. If the message is interesting, it would find a place in the speaker's corner show that it broadcasts throughout the day. Involvement of anybody and everybody. The local person could actually participate. In other words, every citizen of that particular place was given importance. There was a sense of belonging, involvement. City TV's real estate also reinforces its connection with the viewers. The building is located in a prime area with its first floor studios opening up to the street. Its mammoth internal courtyard is a site of numerous parties and entertainment features. Very creative. All big networks have now replicated the Znaimer's resolution, but have a first floor studio at each location. But it was Znaimer who was the first to make his station's connection with its local environment the cornerstone of its identity. If Znaimer's identity creating devices are simple, his view of the causal relationships in the TV business is anything but that. In 1980s, most of his counterparts assumed globalization would eventually erode the attachment of the local stations. But Znaimer realized that globalization would actually increase viewers' appetite for local flavor. Or as he puts it, globalization drives localization. That's the way he looked at it. Like other integrative thinkers, Znaimer describes himself without any prodding as not an either-or kind of a guy, but rather a both-and guy. He never accepted TV business as a simple matter of globalization versus localization, with unsatisfactory trade-offs in both directions. Instead, he squared a circle by making City TV the template for quintessentially local television across the world. He globalized the science of local television, in other words. City TV is truly global enterprise with affiliated stations in 22 countries at the time of writing this, at the time of this book, which was released. It has local stations in more than 100 countries unaffiliated to City TV that license its content and style of presentation. The licensing revenue provides City TV with a resource base that is not available to purely local players, allowing City TV to compete with global players without losing its local advantage. Localization, as Znaimer calls it, is his creative resolution of the tension inherent in the television trade. Think local and act global. Localization, Znaimer fashioned a creative resolution out of apparently irreconcilable alternatives, things which appear to be not connected, which can't be connected, which appear to be opposites. By separating existing models from reality, by setting unyielding standards, by taking responsibility instead of claiming a victim of circumstances, going for a salient that was broader than others, exploring more sophisticated causal relationships among the salient elements, keeping whole in mind while he worked on part and driving relentlessly for a creative resolution. All these things are different parts of specialized activities. He brought them together and he made it happen. Right? So now we come to the summary, friends. Resolutions can be shaped if you resist simplification. Martha Graham considered composition, choreography, costumes and sets, collaborated with renowned experts in music, sculpting to revolutionize art of dance. Specialization produces functional optimums but fail to produce business optimum. The famous 80-20 rule can lead to resolution but not a creative resolution. That Tim Brown, when asked to design a rail car, assumed responsibility for an entire train journey, improved its 10 important steps without losing grasp of an enjoyable ride. Znaimer, faced with nasty trade-offs of going local or global, globalized the science of local television. A group of friends, an example I'm drawing now, a group of friends go for a picnic. They may feel hungry, they may feel like having tea or coffee at any time. They may not find a cafe at some place at any time. At certain places you may not find a cafe. A thoughtful salience, that is multiple salience, would make them realize multiple options, causality and paths to fulfill their need. They would carry tea bags, instant coffee, thermos flask with hot water, sugar, milk powder or condensed milk sachets, stirrers and cups. Many of us do it. It's very common. We are identifying how this is integrative thinking. There's a causality and there's an architecture, right? And there's a salience in the beginning. Their resolution then would thus entail them to have tea or coffee anytime, anywhere. No holds barred. It's possible, in spite of all this, they may find hot water getting consumed faster. With the tea and coffee consumption being higher, the materials may get used to giving zero balance. So they may have to consider the multiple consumer saliences and accordingly arrive at multiple causality. They may have to go along taking a hot plate as well. So when you start looking at the worst case scenario that could happen, more and more causality will get added. So that when you go, it's an enjoyable thing and you don't get drowned by the dictates of the environment. Right? All about a cup of tea or coffee after the game. Small pick shot is given here. And this would remind them that perhaps they should consider maybe carrying one more thermos flask or locate a place pre-planned where they would refill their requirements. This is refining of the integrative process steps. You redefine the salience, you get newer causalities and you draw a more robust architecture and you arrive at a new or a better resolution. The process is a continuous affair of refining better ways of doing things by integrating all elements that matter. This is all about integrative thinking. And with this, friends, I conclude this session. Thank you very much. Happy journey in integrative thinking and action.